Well, tonight we're going to look at some of the things that Jesus Christ says in the Word of God about what's going to happen in the end times. Now, there are lots of ways you can approach this subject. And we've done a lot of work and a lot of teachings over the last few years, especially looking at the spiritual aspects of the end times. What's interesting to look at in the Word is, what does Jesus Christ and God say about the physical world and the physical changes that are going to happen? Because there is a lot in the Word of God about this subject. So tonight we're going to take a look at some of this and see from the Word's point of view what's going to happen, and then get instructed and grow wise, and then begin to grow an understanding of what this is. This might be partly interesting. It could be frightening to someone who doesn't understand the Word. But actually, God put this in the Word of God for a purpose. It's not done haphazardly. It's not just done because it was a good idea in someone's mind. God has written these things in the Word to show us, to instruct us. And we have to remember the big picture. So there's a few foundation scriptures I just want to look at before we thoroughly get into it. But if we start in Hebrews, it's a good place to start, in chapter 12. In chapter 12, it talks about God coming down to Mount Sinai. And when he came down, he shook the earth. Okay, his presence was a terrible sight, awesome sight. And and in verse 21 it says, "And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." See? But then it says, "But ye come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God." We haven't come to Mount Sinai, okay, where it's tempest, where the awesome dread of the Lord God Almighty. We haven't come to that. It says we've come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. You see, so do you see the difference? In the verses before, if you look at verse 18, it says, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated the word should not be spoken to them any more." Couldn't cope. When the Lord God, Jah Almighty, came to Sinai in the Old Testament times, it was just too much for man. And but it says we haven't come to that. We've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. So we need to remember that. Because in the end times, there's a big divide. There's the big the big judgment, the big wrath of God. And then there's the salvation of God, which is manifest. And there are two things. Where do we belong? We belong to Christ. So what it says is, if we take a look at verse 26, "whose voice then shook the earth," that's when he came to Mount Sinai, "but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." And we're going to see what that means later on tonight. When we get to the end of the teaching, it'll come plain what he says. "And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and fear. For our God is a consuming fire." See, God's going to shake not just the earth, but the heavens. He's going to shake the whole creation. there's a time coming when that shaking, and it's going to remove everything that can be shook. But it says that we've received the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In Christ, we cannot be moved. We cannot be shaken. Our inheritance in Christ is the reason why God is going to shake the heavens and the earth, so that the kingdom of God can be established on earth, so that the evil can be driven away. And evil is going to increase as we move towards that day. Evil is going to increase to just the final point where the evil and wickedness that's going to be in the world at that time will be like no other time. So there's a day coming where there's going to be a massive shaking. But we see that we're not come to the dread of Mount Sinai. We have come to Mount Zion, where there's beauty and light. And in the end times, we'll see what Jesus Christ says in a moment. There are two broad attitudes in the end times. It talks about men's heart failing them for the fear of things that are coming on the world. And it also talks about when you see these things come to pass, lift your heads up because you know your redemption draws nigh. And which mindset are we in? So I just want to set some real hearty foundations of where our position is, okay? What our lifeboat is, so that we're not to be moved by these things, because we, our destiny is the kingdom that cannot be moved, that can't be shaken. If we don't belong to Christ, which is not true because we all do belong to Christ, then we would be in that camp which is going to get shaken. But we're not in that camp. Okay. It says in the Word of God that we're gathered together to Christ at the last trumpet. At the seventh trumpet, that's when the gathering together takes place. And the trumpets that are blown before then, there are physical things that are going to happen in the world. The first four trumpets deal with things that are going to happen in the earth and in the world, in the cosmos. The fifth and the sixth trumpet are spiritual. They're spiritual happenings. I'm not going to get into all the depth of this, but and the seventh trumpet is the point when we're gathered together and Jesus Christ returns and takes the kingdoms of the earth. And we're with him. So that's both physical and spiritual at the seventh trumpet. If we go to 1 Thessalonians for a moment, and remember that this is God speaking in his word. And it says in chapter 1, verse 10, that we're to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Jesus Christ has delivered us and is delivering us from the wrath that's coming. One day the wrath will come, but we've been delivered from it. Now either God is telling us a Porky Pie's lies there, or he's speaking the truth. Well, we know he's speaking the truth. We're not. We've been delivered, rather, from the wrath to come. Chapter 5. Verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So you and I have not been appointed to this wrath that is coming on the world. That's going to be part of this shaking. We haven't been appointed to that. If we go to Revelation chapter 6, there's a very interesting question at the very end of chapter 6. And it says in verse 17, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? Well, that's it's a fantastic question. God's wrath is, at this point in the future, it says it's come. And the question is, who's going to be able to stand? Well, we've just read it in Hebrews, that when his wrath comes, he's going to shake the heavens and the earth. But it says that we've received a kingdom that stands, that can't be moved. And interestingly, you know, the very next chapter, and bear in mind that when the Bible was written originally, there were no chapter breaks. So chapter 7 is the answer to this question. So we have to sort of think beyond what we see here as chapter breaks. The question is, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? And then chapter 7 shows the answer. And it says, after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. These are the four trumpets that affect the earth and the biosphere, the cosmosphere. And I saw another angel sending out of the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now, hurting the earth, sea, and the trees, that's the first four trumpets, if you read them what it's about. But this angel says to these four angels who are going to blow the trumpet, just hold it for a moment. We've got to seal the servants of our God in their foreheads. And then it says, I heard the number of them which were sealed. And they were sealed 144,000. And then you think, gosh, that's not a big number. It's not many. But this section's been the most mishandled part of the book of Revelation, I'm sure. If you read on what it says, sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Well, if you're in one of the tribes of the children of Israel, okay. But the majority of us are not tribes of Israel. We are not one of the 12 tribes. We come from a Gentile background. So we're not included in that sealing. You see. Now, let me just go on for a moment. And then it says, you know, I won't read it all, but it says, you know, if the tribe of Judah received 12,000, the tribe of Reuben received 12,000. And all through the 12 tribes, to get 144,000 sealed. Why? Why were they sealed? But then it says in verse 9, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds. So this is a huge number now. And this is where we are. Now, there were 144,000 sealed. But this big number, okay, there's a difference here, because this big number is the body of Christ. The small number is Israel. Now, Israel, the tribes of Israel, any Israeli or Jewish person today who comes to Jesus Christ and believes that Jesus Christ is their Lord and God raised him from the dead, become like Paul, they become part of the body of Christ. They cease to be of the children of Israel. They become body of Christ. That's their status. However, Israel at large are not going to come to Christ until the end of the final 7 years, when times get to the point of almost wipeout for Israel. And this is whom they're talking about. And the reason that they have to be sealed is because God has, in his foreknowledge, has identified them, and he's going to seal them to go through this period of judgment unscathed. So that these first four trumpets do not blow on these people.
What about the multitude?
Now, the multitude, right, we haven't got time to go into all the references, but the multitude are in Christ. The multitude in Christ. Firstly, we've got the 144,000 that have been sealed, and the sealing is a mark of God. So that. So it protects them from. So what about the rest of us? I'm not telling you. I will tell you. In the epistles, they deal with the body of Christ. And we haven't got time to go into all this. I mean, we can do it later if you want, if it's a burning question. But the body of Christ are already sealed by God himself. It says that in the word. And it also says in Timothy that the Lord knows them that are his. And it says, he who sealed us is God in Corinthians. And it says in Ephesians that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We've already been sealed. So, if you just stack all this up now, we're gathered to, God's going to shake the heavens and the earth. We haven't come to the Mount Sinai where it's the tempest and the trumpets and the judgment. We've come to the city of the living God. Where are his kids? Back in the days of old in Israel, when they were in Egypt, when the judgments came, Moses spoke them forth. But what happened? The children of Israel were protected in Goshen. And all the judgments fell all around them. The plagues, the flies, the frogs didn't touch Israel. The angel of death didn't touch the firstborn in Israel. The cattle of Egypt were falling over. The cattle belonging to the Israelites all stood up. The buckets of water, the urns or pots of water in the Egyptian houses turned to blood supernaturally by God. The pots of water in the servants' houses in Goshen in Israel remained as water. You see, there's a difference. God knows them who it is. It says, again, we're piecing it together, that we're not appointed to wrath. We're not appointed to wrath. So therefore, anything that's of wrath to come in the future, we've been delivered from that, it said, and we're not appointed to it. We've already been sealed. The Lord knows them who are his. Now, it's a wholly different thing when a believer goes and walks away from God and walks into the camp of the unbelievers, of the children of wrath, and lives like the children of wrath. Then that person, although that person is saved, that person, according to Hebrews, and again, we haven't got time to go to all the references, that it says in the word that that person should expect fiery judgment upon him. Doesn't mean that they're not saved. It means that they've gone and encamped with the children of wrath. But we are not of that nature. We have been sealed. It's not for us to go through that. We've been appointed for salvation. We've been delivered from the wrath. That's a very foundation which you've got to understand before we get into this subject tonight, because if you don't grasp that, if we don't really grab hold and understand the foundation scriptures there, we will approach this time with the wrong attitude. We'll become fearful and frightful. We will not have the mind of Christ. We won't understand what's going on. And actually, we'll have missed the plot and we'll have missed the big picture. The reason this is coming is to establish the kingdom of God on earth. And God is so kind that he doesn't just blow it all on day one. If you track this through, you'll see an increment as it goes through. It increases and it gets more powerful, because all the time God is wanting man to be saved. He's long-suffering. And even in the judgment period, because the first four judgments are on the earth, sea, and the trees. You see? And it's just on the biosphere to really show man something, to warn man of what's coming. So, what we're going to get into tonight is, what does God say in his word about what's physically going to happen? Because there is a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of people who are hyped up with the 2012 hype. And that is designed by the adversary to put people into a position after 2012 to think, oh, all this disaster that's coming, I've heard all that before. It's the adversary is luring people into a calm before the storm. Today we have people saying, oh yeah, I've heard all this. You know, it was, what about the 2000 hype, year 2000? You know, all these disasters were supposed to happen. Planes were supposed to fall out of the sky, didn't happen. Well, there's probably an element of the 2000, but which needed to be corrected in computers. And then the hype grew over it, and suddenly it's used by the adversary to make mockers out of people for end times. But the 2012 and what's coming is nothing compared to the hype around, around the year 2000. You know, 2012, there was a film made. It's all across the internet. Lots of people, most people have heard and know what 2012 is supposed to signify, at least in the world's mind. And then when it doesn't happen, when the world doesn't come to an end in 2012, because we know from the Bible that there's at least 7 years, and that hasn't started yet, there's at least 7 years spoken of a period in the Bible before Jesus Christ returns. So we're not in 2005 today, and we've got 7 years to 2012. We're in 2011, so you can't get those 7 years within the next year or so. It won't work. So we know from God's word that the world isn't going to end in 2012. It's a big hype because people's minds are being prepared to mock the whole idea that we're heading towards the end times. And the adversary is quite smart and clever in doing this. People are going to be saying after 2012, yeah, disaster coming on the world. Nah, we've heard it all before. We've heard of the year 2000. We've heard 2012. Didn't happen then. What's to say it's going to happen tomorrow, next week, the year after, whatever? So people are being lulled into a false sense of security. It is coming. It's not coming in 2012. And it is coming. It's coming from God's word. So let's get into it. So we turn to the Gospel of Matthew. And when I started just reading this and just letting it speak loudly, it's like I really began to see it and understand it. So we'll build it up from this point. So Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 7. Jesus Christ says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places, in various places across the world." So there's going to be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And he says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. And the word sorrows there are labor pains, childbirth pains. All these are the beginning of childbirth pains, because the world's going to go through a labor, a childbirth, into the kingdom of God being set up. And the sorrows or the childbirth, the contractions, are in the same way as a natural contractions happen during childbirth. They intensify and they get stronger just the point before the birth. So what Jesus Christ says here is that, look, he says all these are the beginning of sorrows. And we don't know when the beginning of sorrows, we don't know how long the beginning of sorrows lasts for, or how long before the final 7 years. It's something that we haven't got to the bottom of. I mean, whether it's in the word of God, it may be. But these are the beginning of sorrows. Then, so it's a progression. In verse 29, actually, before we just go on to that, this idea of the beginning of sorrows, there are two things in this. Firstly, there's sorrows, or labor pains, childbirth pains, birth pangs. And what Jesus Christ said there is that it's the beginning of. So in other words, we're only at the beginning when we see those things. We're not at the middle or the end. And the idea there is that there is going to be a progression. And the birth pangs go all the way right up to what we read in Hebrews, where it says God's going to shake not just the earth, but the heavens only. And right through that. So that beginning of that sorrows, those birth pangs, you have to understand that, because that runs right through the end times, right to the return of Christ and just thereafter. those birth pangs are increasing all the time, and there, so it's a progression. Okay, so in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29, verse 20, he says, "But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." I just want to quickly explain the context this is set in, because the previous verses talk about the abomination of desolation, which is the Antichrist going into the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, as Daniel prophesied, and declaring himself as God. And that's when, halfway through that final 7 years, that's when he does that, and that's when the big tribulation happens. And it starts increasing from even that point onwards. But there's a lot more to teach about that, but we haven't got time tonight. But what Jesus Christ said is that there's going to come a time that's there's never been like it before. And actually, this abomination that causes desolation, that desolation, God is going to put an end. He's going to shorten those days. Because if that carried on, no flesh would survive. It's going to get that severe. But he says it will be shortened. And then in verse 29, it says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken." Now just picture this. Project yourself to that time. So you look out your window, and it says that the sun shall be darkened. So the sun's going to go darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. Something's going to happen in the heavenlies, in the cosmosphere, where the moon doesn't give its light. And then it says the stars are going to fall from heaven. And then it says, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now, the powers of the heavens, all the planetary systems and the solar systems, we've got an equilibrium, okay? Now, when that shakes, what effect is that going to have on the world? It's huge. It's huge. It's huge. You know, you've got the power of the moon and the tides and, you know, the gravitational forces. You know, when those powers of the heavens shake, okay, you're talking about something massive. Okay. Now again, you put it in the context of the beginning of sorrows. There is the birth pangs. So the effect these shaking of these powers is going to be an incremental thing, right up to the point of where there's going to be a full shaking. And it talks about a great earthquake. It's actually not an earthquake. It's a mistranslation. It's a convulsion of the whole creation, and that's a point way at the end, when God does that. But you see, this is coming. But it says in the Word that we're not appointed to wrath, that we've been sealed, that we are actually to lift up our heads because our redemption draws near. That we're, you know, there's a lot, God's put this in His Word so that we can understand. This is not just put in to terrify mankind. It is terrifying. But if you know the truth, if you know what God says, if you know that you've been sealed, that you haven't been appointed to this wrath, that you've been appointed to salvation, if you know how God rolls out His plan, we can be with those it speaks of in Revelation, who are in the heavenlies, and it says, we rejoice and give thanks to God because His judgments are just. It's something that we don't need to be fearful of. So the powers of the heavens are going to be shaken. Let's take a quick look at Luke 21. Matthew, Mark, Luke 21. Verse 11. It says here that, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. You see, there's going to be fearful sights, and great signs there be from heaven. In verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of the nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. You know, that's tsunamis. We call them tsunamis today. Here it's the sea and the waves roaring. This is not just a little hurricane storm. You know, you've got to look at the context of this. This is the powers of the heavens shaking. Huge magnetic forces at work. Huge, huge forces. Huge gravitational pull. Lots of other things. Then in verse 26 it says, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. You see, it says that men's hearts failing them for fear. Men are going to have heart attacks. People are going to actually, their hearts are going to fail, because what's coming on the earth is going to be so physically severe. Some people are going to be so affected, so fearful, that their heart's going to fail. Yeah, this is very, very graphic language when you just let it speak. For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift your heads. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. See, Jesus Christ doesn't say, you know, look on all of this as being fearful, with fear. You know, have a heart attack. He doesn't say that, does he? He says, no. He says that we, his people, should lift up our heads. You know, and then he says, verse 31, so likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. See, and in verse 36, watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. There will be people who escape all these things. Yeah. And we are accounted, we are appointed, not to the wrath, we're appointed to salvation. You see how all this fits together? Israel and the church are separate. We have a different role, different standing or a different place, but it all comes together. If you turn to, let me just read this. Let's go there. Mark chapter 13. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark. Again, Jesus Christ speaking of these matters. As we just turn in there, you know, there is a thought in Christendom that we're going to be raptured or gathered out of here, maybe tonight. The word says that we're going to be gathered together at the last trumpet, the seventh trumpet. So there's a danger of believing the wrong thing here, because if we believe we're gathered together out of here, we're wasting our time today when we should be preparing ourselves with the accurate knowledge of the Word of God, the things that we're hearing tonight. If we arrive in that period wondering why we haven't been gathered together, that's not a good position to be in, when God's been saying all along, I've given you my Word. simple to understand. Just read it and let it speak for itself. And not let men mess it up for you. But you see, Mark chapter 13, verse 24. Jesus Christ speaking. Verse 24 says, "But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in the heavens shall be shaken." You know, it's absolutely unmistakable. The powers of the heavens are going to be shaken. God is going to shake the heavens. We know it's going to be an incremental thing, the birth pangs, and those shaking. Shaking is going to increase and increase and increase. Acts chapter 2. Verse 19. "And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke." So there's going to come signs. There's going to come wonders in the heaven. We're going to see some wonderful things in the heavenlies. There's going to be some amazing happenings. Wonders. You know, things that are wondrous to look at. "The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come." The day of the Lord comes at the seventh trumpet. So this happens before the seventh trumpet, before the day of the Lord comes. So we're going to witness this. But thank God we're sealed. Thank God the Lord knows them that are His. Thank God through the patience and comfort of the Old Testament scriptures, like in the land of Goshen in Egypt, we can have comfort and hope, as Romans 15:4 says. Yep. You know, that's a reference from Joel. You don't need to turn there. But in Joel it says, "I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, pillars of smoke. Sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 2. "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child," labor pains, "and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief." You see what God says about us? We're not in the darkness, that day is not going to overtake us as a thief. "You're all the children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." Then it says, "Let us watch and be sober." Yeah. And then verse 8, "But let us who are of the day be sober." Okay, now instead of putting on the fear and frightful and having heart attacks about what's going to happen, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So we shouldn't be putting on the fear of the sights of what's coming on the world. We should have the helmet, the hope of salvation. And then explains it in the next verse, "For God has not appointed us to the wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." We have to get so sold out to this, you know, because there is so much misinformation out there. Second Peter chapter 3. The powers of the heavens are going to be shook. And it's going to be incremental. It's going to be a progression. But you see, where it's going to end up, here, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We just read that, Thessalonians. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So the elements are going to pass away. There's going to be a fervent heat. The earth and the works that are in them is all going to be burned up. What a frightful thing. I wouldn't like to be on the receiving end of that. But we're not. We're appointed to salvation. Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, behavior, and godliness? You know, all this in the world that we see, Jesus Christ and God is going to dissolve it. It's all going to be burnt up. It's going to be broken down. It's going to be shook, you know. And there's a bit more to understand and read about this. Because as I say, it's a progression. Malachi said that, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. Malachi 4:1, but we don't need to go there for the sake of time. I want to take right to the end. If we go to Revelation chapter 6. Now, the structure of Revelation is that there are seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls. The seven seals are like taking a seal off or wrapping paper so that you can see what's going to happen. And the seven seals span the start and finish of this judgment period. The whole thing. And the book of Revelation is not chronological in this respect, because it just shows you a greater understanding and it takes you back into the middle of it again, or the start of it. And at the sixth seal takes us right to the end, and it says, we're in chapter 6, verse 12. And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The word earthquake there is not a quake of the earth, it's a convulsion in nature. It's the shaking of the heavens and the earth. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. The stars of heaven. You know, these heavenly bodies, these physical bodies, fall into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, and she is shaken of a mighty wind. This is talking about physical, not spiritual. The sons of God and the angels, including the devil spirits, are also called stars. But in this context, you have to understand that it's talking about the moon, the sun, and the stars. They're physical celestial bodies, physical being. And you, when it's used figuratively, stars of heaven, meaning spirits, you see that in a context. The context here is physical. Sun, moon, stars fall into earth. Sorry, stars fall into earth, not the moon or the sun. And then it says, in the heaven, verse 14, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Now look at this. This shaking is going to be so severe. And this shaking is not going to affect us because we have something that cannot be moved. In fact, we would be rejoicing in that day because the shaking is going to remove all things. Now, is God that big that he can do this? Can he preserve us and shake the whole creation and while we have a kingdom that cannot be moved? Of course he is. Of course he can. Verse 14 says, the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. So that the powers of the heavens are going to be shaken. The heavens are going to not look like what they look like at the moment. It's going to look different. It's going to go. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. So you're gonna, it's gonna be so severe on earth that you've got, we're not around it. We've been gathered together at this time, because this happens at the, after the last trumpet. Every mountain and island were moved out of their place. A bit later on, we'll read that not only were they moved, that, this is after the seventh trumpet, the sixth seal. Because remember, the seal is short and it takes you straight to the end. So this is not a time where we are on earth in our physical bodies, in the sense we have today. This is taking you to the time of when the fullness of the wrath is poured out. The birth pangs are a progression. They're incremental. The judgment and wrath of God is incremental. There is wrath of God poured out in the world as a warning up to the seventh trumpet whilst we're here on earth, but we're sealed from its effects. After the seventh trumpet, or after the seventh trumpet, we're gathered together, the word says. And then after that, then Jesus Christ, with the faithful believers, treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. That's what it says in the word. And that's when the fullness of the wrath of God is poured out. And that's when these things happen in their fullness. It says that the every mountain and every island were moved out of their places. So where they are at the moment, it's going to move. The islands are going to move. The mountains are going to move. It's going to be that powerful. It says later on that the mountains, I'm not sure if I got this the right way around, that the mountains, you won't see them more, and the islands fled away. Or it might be the other way around. Maybe the mountains fled away, but we've got a reference we can look at. And then it says, and the kings of the earth, and great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men of every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. You know, there's no underground shelter that's going to save people from the wrath of God. Just won't work. Just won't work. Can't hide underground from the wrath of God. Chapter 8, verse 7. Now these are the four, well, there are seven angels, but these are the first four angels which blow the trumpets. First, chapter 8, verse 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail, fire, mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. So this hail and fire mingled with blood is going to come from the heavens. It's going to come from up there. And the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. Okay. The second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. That's like some type of asteroid or something. The powers of the heavens shaking. This gets its way through the Earth's atmosphere, and something comes like a great burning mountain, and it goes into the sea. It lands in the sea. You know, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. The sea, this could be the Mediterranean Sea, because when we read prophecy, we have to remember that by and large it's Israel centric. It's not Europe centric or America centric. You know, it's Israel centric. Okay. And the third angel sounded, verse 10, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. Now, can you imagine that? This is going to happen before the seventh trumpet. This star is going to come from the heavens, and it's going to, where it falls, it probably breaks up. But it falls on a third part of the waters, and these waters become poisoned, wormwood. And then it says, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten. Now notice here, this is not all of the sun, or all of the stars, or all of the moon. It's a third part, it's incremental. And these are physical happenings. This is physically going to happen. And it's before the day of the Lord, because we haven't got to the seventh trumpet. And this is what Peter said when he quoted Joel from the Old Testament. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as a third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for the third part of it, and the night likewise. Physical things on the earth, in the heavens. Jesus Christ spoke of these. He said there's going to be signs in the heavens. There's going to be wondrous things coming. There's going to be, and at some point, some of the unsaved are going to be full of fear for the things that are coming on the world. There's going to be signs in the earth. There's going to be signs in the heavens. There's going to be waves roaring, tsunamis. There's going to be earthquakes in diverse places. The powers of the heavens are going to be shook. The gravitational forces are going to be, and the magnetic, electromagnetic forces are all going to be bent out of shape. It's going to cause physical effects on Earth and in the biosphere and cosmosphere. Big stuff. Revelation 11, verse 13. Well, there it talks about a great earthquake, and that's in the city of Jerusalem. Well, the effects are shown in the city of Jerusalem. And the same hour where there was a great earthquake. Now, this great earthquake, again, is this shaking in the earth. And part of this Jerusalem falls. Verse 19. This is after the seventh trumpet is blown. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his covenant, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. And what's being shown here is, again, is a vision towards not just at that point, but moving forward, progression to the end. The great hail is part of the fullness of the wrath of God. So is the earthquake when it increases. There's 100-pound hailstones being stoned to the earth. Can you imagine what that is? Imagine the effects of that. Gosh. Let's go to Revelation 16. Now, this section deals with the fullness of the wrath of God. Now, I'd love just to go and spend a lot of time in this, but we haven't got the time. So there are many things that are spoken. Talks about all of the sun being in darkness, all of the moon being in darkness, not just a third of it. But I want to get to this verse in verse 18. Well, actually, verse 8 is interesting, just before. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. That's very interesting. There's going to be such solar storms in the future of such intensity that the sun is going to be scorching men with fire. Again, something physical. But verse 18. And there were voices. This is at the last bowl being poured out. After all the judgment is done, it says, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. The word earthquake there is convulsion, and it's a convulsing, not just of the earth, but of the heavens. The whole heavens and the earth are going to shake. And this is what we read in Hebrews. Right. Now just listen to this. Just let this speak to you. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, a convulsion, a shaking of the heavens and the earth, such as was not since men were upon the earth. No. It says, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So in other words, men were on the earth 6,000 years ago when Adam was born. Okay? Of all the earthquakes, of all the shakings, of all the convulsions, there has never been this convulsion that's coming, this shaking of the heavens and the earth. It says, nothing has ever been like it. So let's just read that. Such, verse 18, halfway through, it says, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. So this convulsion, nothing, man has never experienced this level of convulsion in creation. Never since man first began on earth, never since Adam, as the intensity of what's coming. Yeah. And this is at the very end of God's judgments. You see? Look. Verse 19. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. You know, we're going to see the cities of the nations. We're not going to be on earth at this time. Well, certainly not in this form. You know, we're going to well before this, we'll be with Christ. But the cities of the nations fell. Okay, verse 20. Now, remember what we read earlier about islands being moved and mountains being moved. Yeah? And here it's, and every island fled away. This is not just a movement. This is fleeing away. And the mountains were not found. This convulsion is going to be so severe, there'll be no more mountains. They won't be found. It's huge when God shakes the heavens and the earth. Yeah. And it says, God says, he says, kids, he says, you have not been appointed to wrath. You've been delivered from the wrath. Yeah. How powerful is Jesus Christ? God Almighty, Jah, Jehovah, has given Yahweh, has given Jesus Christ all power and authority in creation, in his creation. How powerful is Jesus Christ? He says he's the head of all things. He's the head of creation. How powerful is he? You know, what God do we serve? How powerful is God? You know, as big as this creation is only a speck in his hand. That's how big he is. God has put these things in his word so that we become wise and that we know. And that, you know, we don't live in fear. We don't live in doubting his power to do what he says in his word. That he has sealed us. He can preserve us. That we're not appointed to wrath. That we're appointed to salvation. That we're not to be those whose hearts fail them, you know, but we're to have hearts full of joy, our heads lifted up because our redemption draws nigh. We're to watch and be sober. We're not children of the night. The day is coming like a thief in the night, and that day will not overtake us, it says. So, is it going to happen in 2012? Nope. 7 years to go, at least. And we might be living in a period of time before the 7 years start. So we don't know how long that is yet. But there's at least a minimum of 7 years. If the 7 years started tomorrow, we've got 7 years to go. It's not going to happen in 2012. There may be occurrences. There may be an increase in the beginning of birth pangs, the beginning of sorrows. But we are not in the final year. So everything about 2012, we can confidently say, according to God's word, that actually the idea that the world's coming to an end as we know it in 2012 is not true, and it will carry on.
But it will come to an end.
Eventually. Will the world come to an end? Maybe the value and the systems of the world will, but, you know, the world earth is not going to come to an end because Jesus Christ is returning to set up his kingdom on earth. And it will be set up and rebuilt on earth. And it will be a rule of righteousness and love. And everything that's wicked and evil and of the adversary is going to be shook and removed. So we look for that time. And that is coming. You know. But there is, we haven't really got into the depth of it tonight, but it does speak of the seven final years of these events happening. Now we know that the 7 years hasn't started yet because all the fullness of the signs haven't arrived. The temple hasn't been rebuilt. So.
I was going to say, how do you know when the 7 years start? Because
what he says is that we don't. Jesus Christ spoke of his day in his time, and he said, "No man knows the time or the hour," right? And that was then, and we don't know it today. But there is a time coming when the time and the hour will be revealed.
Yes.
But that's in the future. And there are two men of God who are going to stand up in those days and are going to teach God's people exactly when the day and the hour is going to be. Because it can be known, but it's not known by man today. The seasons can be known by man today. You see? Sorry, Jim. Yeah, go for it.
It also says in the words, right? It says the doulos, the faithful in Christ, right? Will dream dreams, right, and have visions, right? And they will prophesy what we've listened to tonight. They will prophesy those things in order to save souls, right? So the faithful witnesses in that time, you and I and everybody else here tonight, will be showing us visions what's happening, and we'll be receiving that revelation. So.
Well, I want to finish off in Jeremiah chapter 25. Can you go to Jeremiah chapter 25 and we'll end here. And in verse 30, Jeremiah is sort of in the middle of the Bible as a guide to get there. Jeremiah 25, from verse 30 onwards. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high. This is the shaking, okay? And utter his voice from his holy habitation. You know, his voice is going to shake the heavens and the earth. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. This is referring to the winepress that Jesus Christ is going to tread. The fierceness of the wrath of the winepress, God's wrath. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth. It's going to fill the whole world. For the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh, every single man on the earth. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation. And a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth, from the coastlines. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth unto the other end of the earth, right across the globe. And they shall not be lamented or gathered nor buried, they shall be dung upon the ground. Howl, ye shepherds, and cry, and wallow yourselves in the ashes, ye principal of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and of your dispersions are accomplished, and ye shall fall like a pleasant vessel. And the shepherd shall have no way to flee, nor the principal of the flock to escape. Verse 38. He hath forsaken his covert as the lion. For their land is desolate because of the fierceness of the oppressor and because of his fierce anger. You see, the Lord is not going to stand forever and allow the wickedness of man, and especially in the very end times where it's going to increase beyond measure. He's going to come with force, with violence. He's going to establish in righteousness his kingdom on the world. And there are lots of spiritual dimensions to understand that. But what we've looked at tonight are the physical things. And the reason I wanted to share that tonight, well, there's a number of reasons. One is to see it from the word that we're not to be full of fear, but to understand and know what's going on and why it's going on. So that actually God says this is what's going to happen. If you do a research on the internet about 2012, you'll get all manner of things say what's going to happen. And lots of reasons. Some of these reasons are spacemen coming from outer space. There's all sorts of things. Some are saying that the oceans are going to flood the world. We know that there's going to be tsunamis because we read it in the Gospels in Matthew. But the world's not going to be destroyed by water because of the rainbow for Noah. Because God promised that he would never destroy the whole world with water. And the word says it's the earth and the heavens that are now reserved for fire. It'll be cleansed by fire and there'll be a massive shaking. There are many physical things going to happen. And the powers of the heavens are going to be shook. But we have been sealed and we've been appointed to obtain salvation. You know, the things that are going to happen in measure, small measure, are the trumpets. Until the seventh trumpet when we're gathered together. After that, there is the fullness of the wrath of God poured out. And we'll have been gathered together into Christ. But when the whole convulsion happens, that we have a kingdom, God tells us, we are in that cannot be shaken. If God could preserve the cattle belonging to Israel in the land of Goshen and Egypt, if he can do that and look after cows and sheep and the rest of it, can he look after his kids when he rolls out his plan? Yeah, he can. We serve a powerful God. We serve God who is all-consuming fire. And he is coming in strength, in majesty, in judgment to establish his kingdom here on the earth. So we have got this because it's in the word. It's about being wise and understanding and knowing the accuracy of what God says rather than all of the misinformation that's in the world. We've had an opportunity tonight to put that in our minds so that we know the score, we know the right mindset, and we have knowledge of what Jesus Christ has taught us in the Gospels and what's written in the rest of the Word. So, you know, to me, it's a great comfort to know. It's a great comfort that we can have true knowledge and we can approach it with joy in our hearts because salvation draws near. So, okay.